Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
We are back. Just what the doctor ordered. Roma, they progress into the quarterfinals of the Coppa Italia after defeating Sampdoria 4-2-1. Before getting into that, a thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Munir Zamir, good friend of the website and a good friend of ours, of the podcast, this entity, Munir. Thank you for your support. And of course, to all of our other wonderful patrons, patreon.com/RomaPress and then @RomaPress on YouTube, social media. You know all of the channels by now, so I don't know why I do the same repetitive introduction, but it is a reflex. So if I change it now, I don't know what I would do with myself because I would lose my head more than being subjected to AS Roma this season, Andy. However, if you want to talk about a nice antibiotic as a means of getting the very, very gross feeling that we all felt at the weekend when Roma fell 2-0 to Como, defeating Sampdoria in the Coppa Italia in the middle of December, just before a holiday, and doing so handily, and doing so with Dovbyk scoring twice. In terms of bounce back performances and result, this is about as good as we could get. Now, to what extent we should be ecstatic, or even perhaps ecstatic is being too generous, content perhaps, we can debate that. But given this season, there is absolutely no way I'm going to take tonight for granted. I think this is something, given what you saw from Dovbyk, given what you saw from really most of the team, there were not very many poor performances. They needed this. It's a Serie B side. So again, are we going to pop champagne? Of course not. But this is still a team that even last season with Jose Mourinho, while yes, things were going not terrific at the moment, they were nearly ousted by Cremonese. So let's not get overexcited, but let's not just sweep this aside.
I forgot that. I had forgotten about Cremonese. That's unbelievable. It's quite.
I believe in the 70th minute. No, I mean they pulled it out so late.
I don't remember, but yes, it's true. But it's really that late period of Mourinho was unbelievable. After the Napoli win, which I think coincided more or less with the holidays, that was grim. Roma tonight, you know. Let me preface this that recording at this time of day, so almost 11:30 over here. It's not great. Doesn't feel great, no matter what the result is. I can't, John, I can't be sitting here and trying to make this into an exciting show, because Roma did what they were supposed to do, what they have always been asked to do on these occasions in the Coppa Italia. On many such occasions, they fell short. I mean, John, remember Spezia so many times. Who else did we play? Cesena in the past. Who else did we play? We played Torino.
Sampdoria shit on the parade of Roma just some years ago, right around this time. I don't know. I think it was still before Christmas, in fact, because they'd won in Bergamo. Yes. We were flying high.
That was 2021. Yeah.
Right before the holiday, just bam. So listen, it's a...
Fabio
Borini
tonight. Yeah, he's still there.
Wow.
Tonight we finally, you know, we get some important news with regards to, hey, Dovbyk back on the score sheet. Two goals, yes. Great. You know, Baldanzi, who was gone AWOL with Claudio Ranieri in charge tonight, he took this opportunity, put himself out there on display for everyone to see him, scored. Great. Matias Sule gets the crossbar. That was unlucky because that was a hell of a shot. Yes. Sule is quickly turning into one of those players that just whatever he does, he draws bad luck upon himself. It seems like he can't get out of this slump that he's in. Even when he gets that kind of shot off, it just doesn't go in by pure bad luck. There's no other explanation for that.
So, I mean, Shomurodov sighting. You speak of guys going Shomurodov in
sighting,
reappearing and scoring.
Shomurodov sighting, first ball that he touches, goal. So, you know, obviously tonight there is plenty to talk about the various miracles. You know, we were dealing with Mats Hummels, Cristante, Manu Koné, Mancini being out. Leandro Paredes tonight was the captain's armband because guess what? Lorenzo Pellegrini still on the bench, only came on in the final 20 minutes. Paulo Dybala on the bench with all the rumors of him potentially leaving in January, who knows? So tonight, you know, on paper, it was simple. I'm not trying to, it's just, we've been through so much this season that I feel like tonight, yes, we should be happy. But I feel like I'm sort of running out of these bursts of excitement. You know, like if it were consistent, at least I'd be prepared. Instead, it's like up and down, like so we were just sitting here, John, 2 days ago. We spoke 2 days ago and the mood was different. Tonight we are asked to be more up because Roma thankfully won 4-1 in the Coppa Italia. But what does that mean? In the grand scheme of things, what does that mean? We're going to be facing Paulo Fonseca's Milan in the quarterfinals. I don't know what that means. We're talking about two teams that have been underperforming drastically. So who knows? Tonight, obviously, for what it is, it's a pleasant surprise given where we were on Sunday. But again, how many times have we said that?
Well, that's true. You touched on something because, again, they are going to face Milan. Roma have been so embarrassingly and pathetically shit this season that every other team has essentially been given a get-out-of-jail card to be discussed or under question because Roma, again, have been underwhelming is putting it lightly, but Milan are one of those teams where you want to speak of erratic results, erratic performance, erratic behavior, up, down, roller coaster, no consistency, no balance, no continuity. And that is something when it comes to a tournament, because even beyond this season, erratic is probably the correct word when it comes to AS Roma and their results and their final finish in the table in Serie A. I mean, we are getting close, okay? I think we will probably reach the full decade mark of no Champions League. And that is a very clear indication that the team cannot sustain, they cannot find balance, they lack continuity. When it comes to a tournament, though, such as the Coppa Italia, that doesn't necessarily matter sometimes. If you look at Roma in the Europa League, Conference League, this is often and has been the sort of redeeming quality of this Roma where, yeah, when it comes to 38 matches over a season, when it comes to the marathon of a full campaign, they don't have it. But my goodness, when it comes to that short burst of light that is required to grab something of worth from a season, they are able to do that. So I will give them credit in that regard. We could speak of the mental and the character flaws that really requires to be able to do something so drastically different in a competition that does not really require something long term. I'll save that for another day, maybe this summer. But as shit as Serie A has been this season for Roma, there was some talk of this in the patron group chat when it comes to the Coppa Italia. And I believe you even mentioned that when Ranieri was initially appointed about the Coppa Italia potentially serving as a motivation for the remainder of the season. Because top four, top six, I can't get there.
Yeah, but how many times have we heard that, John? God, I remember this team speaking in such terms of the Coppa Italia. Remember when we faced Torino in the year that to
you always mention that
match, because to me it was so surreal because it was like the build-up was amazing. You know, we have all the prerequisites to win this trophy. This is the trophy that we're aiming for. And then
Silver Star. Yes,
Emerson Palmieri comes back from the ACL. He plays that game and then he's shipped off to Chelsea. That's all I remember. But I just remember that so many times Roma have have said these things about the Coppa Italia. And guess what? The last time we actually competed for the Coppa Italia was over a decade.
Oof. That's true. But I wonder if in a way, because I don't think any of us are having a serious discussion of finishing top six, top seven, top eight, whatever you pick out the number that you prefer to feel semi-decent about for this season. I don't think any of us are under any illusion that Roma are worthy of that being even in the discussion at this point. I mean, we're 2 points above relegation right now. We need to learn to walk before we run. I understand that. There's no reason to get ahead of ourselves. I said this in my post-match reaction at the weekend to Como. If you look at the table, Roma in Serie A, where do they sit right now, Andy? In the Serie A table, Roma sit what? They sit currently 16th. Number 12. Oh, okay. So 12 technically, okay, on 16 points. So that means below them, 12th in the table, there are 8 teams behind them who are lower in the table. Do not, of those 8 teams, don't look at the results that Roma have had this season against them. I am sorry, but I'm going to take every result in either the Coppa Italia and what is remaining of the Europa League, although I think that time is probably, the amount of time is dwindling down. Yes, Roma are still technically in a playoff position, but nobody, absolutely nobody, is of the opinion. You know what this team needs? You know what this team needs? Two more matches. Let's throw 2 more onto the calendar for this team that can't even find a consistent starting 11 for matches wherein they have a full 7 days to prepare. So let's put that aside. I am going all in this season on the Coppa Italia, and I know even uttering those words mean I'm going to be on here weeping in probably just a few weeks when they face Milan. Having said that, I look at the table and I think to myself, my gosh, are we really in such an awkward position where we have a team that they go to a Europa League semifinal, the prior year before that, a Europa League final. The year before that, they win a European trophy. And now we are at the point where we're going all in on the Coppa Italia, at least trying to aim for it. And now, whilst doing so, we are also battling against relegation. Now, I know, given how much time is still left in the season, it is a bit of a meme, so to speak, to actually have this discussion of Roma and relegation. But, and if you look at the teams behind them in the table, don't do it. Don't do it right now, where you see how Roma, the number of points that they have gotten off the teams below them in the table currently. So if we want to talk about the maths, if we want to talk about the actual results to date, yeah, this team actually could get relegated if you think about it, or at least is at risk of getting sucked into that relegation race, which is such a bizarre conversation to have. Given that, that is why I'm going all in. I am bought in on the Coppa Italia. I don't know if Roma would actually lower themselves. You're giving me you're doing that look and that face of exasperation.
No,
you want the silver star? Don't you?
I know. I listened.
Hold on. Would they lower themselves to actually add that to the crest?
They would. Right now, they're.
I guarantee they would.
They're desperate.
Guarantee
they're scrambling. No, of course. Listen, these are we always. But you see what happens to us. We are sick. We're demented. We're insane. Every year, we are driven to pure madness. We're driven to pure speculation. We're driven to situations where we have to talk about all these ambitions and dreams, and then Roma go out, they play one shit game, and then you're out of Europa League, of Serie A, out. That's how it works. You always sort of build yourself up. You always give yourself all these, okay, well, if the season in Serie A is going to hell, then we can shift our attention and move on to better things, such as the Coppa Italia. And then next thing you know, Roma go up against Milan, and they get blown out. I know that on the previous episode I joked that in case I go on this pilgrimage, everything will go fine, because the last time I did, Roma won the Conference League. Maybe there is something to that, but honestly, this season did something to me was to be very very realistic about this team. This team has given me nothing to believe in for a reason. Okay, it's not by chance that they are who they are right now. They are who they are right now because they've been shit. That's the bottom line. Things haven't worked out. They didn't get it together early enough, and now they are scrambling. They're looking for answers every week. It's a fight to the death every week. It feels like the water is rising up to your neck. Right? You get two positive results, and then you go up against Como, and back down into the water you go, sinking deeper and deeper, right? And tonight, what should be a normal Coppa Italia match is not, because the whole crowd is waiting for you to react. Roma drive themselves insane. They drive us insane. They've driven me to a point where I can't come on here and say to you, yes, absolutely, let's put it all on Coppa Italia. Obviously, if I think about it, it's natural that if this team is doing so bad in Serie A, and let's face it, Europa League, come on, who are we fooling? You know, not now, not this time. Coppa Italia, is it more realistic? Sure, but then again, yeah, I mean, sure, you're going up against the Milan side that have been very, very uneven, a Milan side that have struggled, so maybe a chance, but again, whenever you give this team that benefit of the doubt, if you give them your hope, they will take it, they will spit on it, and they will throw it in the trash. Okay, that's what they've done this season. So I'm kind of done putting all my chips into their hands, because I know that some of them are skimming it off the top.
Speaking of skimming off the top, I could not think of any better transition than speaking of Paulo Dybala. This was something that was always going to happen. Before getting into this and the nuance of the situation, I did a patron-only episode on just this situation, because much like the agent of Dovbik, as we saw in the summer, his agent, George Antun, a guy between him and the agents of Lorenzo Pellegrini, who I call Zoolander, just Google what he looks like. He is your typical Euro uncle. You'll see what I mean. Just Google. George Antun, the agent of Paulo Dybala, he's spilling everything to everybody. If you have a pulse, Marco Violi could get an exclusive with him right now, and he probably will by tomorrow, because this guy is leaking every single thing about the situation of Paulo Dybala. Just very brief background on the situation. We all remember what happened in the summer. He comes close to moving to Saudi Arabia because he is entering the final year of his contract at Roma. Now, he does have a clause that will activate an automatic one-year renewal once he reaches a certain number of appearances. I believe it was 25. It is a very easy number for him to attain, assuming he does not sustain a very serious injury. Of course, with Paulo Dybala, you never want to rule that out. However, all signs point that he would reach this figure. We think he's going to Saudi Arabia, and then he does a last-minute U-turn in the final hours of the transfer market, and he doesn't go. He remains at Roma, knowing 1 year remaining on his deal. Now, ever since he did that, Andy, Roma have not had a single meeting with Paulo Dybala or George Antun to discuss a contract renewal. This has been made clear that they want to split after the season. They signed him for 3 years initially, plus the automatic renewal for an additional season. And I think that is what they were committed to doing. And they didn't, they were going to see how it goes. And they would play the situation, they would play things by ear, and they would allow the situation to develop in its last months. They would see how things were going, and then they would make a decision. Well, that's not obviously going to be the preference of Paulo Dybala and George Antun. This is a guy who is the highest earner of Roma by a fairly healthy margin. He earns about 5.5 to 6 million euros net at Roma. I think the next highest is Lorenzo Pellegrini, who's at 4 to 4.5. So it's a sizable difference between him and the next highest paid. And listen, if we are going off this season, there's no debate here. There is no debate. There's none. My elementary outlook on a team's wage bill, I say it every single month, I think. A team's wage bill should look as the quality on the pitch. The wage bill should reflect the quality
sure.
on the pitch.
The performances, it should explain what we're seeing on TV.
Yes. A relatively normal club. I'm not even saying completely normal, just somewhat normal club. The highest earners are their most important and highest quality players. And then at the bottom, the lowest earners are the ones they rely on the least, or the younger players. That is such an easy way to look at it. Most normal clubs, that's how it works. Roma, I could not tell you when, even in my lifetime, that has been the case. Maybe you would have to travel back all the way to the early 2000s to find something that would look relatively normal in terms of a wage bill versus what you see on the pitch. Since what? Palotta certainly didn't happen under him. And then under the Friedkins, it has been very rare. I don't think it has happened really at all. You have this just wage bill of it, like things thrown against the wall. We'll pay you this, we'll pay him that, him that. I mean, if you look at it, it is quite depressing, frankly, to look at some of the guys.
Well,
at
but now, but in. I mean, but it's, I mean, it's taken, I mean, it's, we, Roma have made a huge improvement.
Have.
Nothing compared to last year when you were looking at Chris Smalling and you were like, how much is he making? Wait, how much is he playing? Oh, he's not playing at all. Okay.
Yes. A few years ago, when you
had Ante Čorić on your wage bill for some reason,
RIP.
Yeah, RIP. I don't think he has a footballing career anymore.
What
I think
club is he? I was Googling.
I don't think he's got a career anymore. Let's remember his best friend Bianda. I think he may have a career in like third tier French division or something. But
wow.
But Ante Čorić has to be like 26 or 27 right now. So yeah, the time's a bitch.
It really is.
So oh my point being that, you know, as tragic as that is, getting back to Paulo Dybala, the situation with him, I think since the summer, it was pretty evident that Roma realized that they had more to gain from him leaving in terms not only financially, but just also here you have a player who's 31. Okay, costs a lot. When he's on top of the world, he's a magician. Yes. When he's not and he's out, it's a problem because he inherently makes the team about himself. And we saw what happens when the team is not about him under Ivan Juric. When Ivan Juric was here and he put Paulo Dybala in a position where he had to perform as a regular player tasked with a very specific number of defensive duties, we saw that Paulo Dybala was just depressed and useless on the pitch. Let's face it, he was useless. So I think the management definitely in the summer were like, okay, there is this chance. Okay, maybe this is our opportunity. And I think that in the end, this decision, like all kinds of decisions, you know, where there is a bit of, I wouldn't say forcing yourself to do something against your will, but let's face it, it wasn't, I mean, the whole summer saga didn't feel natural. This offer came out of the blue, Dybala saying yes, saying no, saying yes again. And then the fans and the media, you know, stirring the pot, asking him to stay. So I think in the end, when these things come out the way that did, you know, and this it dragged out, it went on for too long. Something breaks. And then you add to the fact that the season has been horrendous. Paulo Dybala hasn't been even that brilliant for Roma. He struggled repeatedly in a number of matches. He's played more than usual. I must admit that. I'm surprised at yes. how much he's played. But at the end of the day, if you're Roma, you're also looking past Dybala. And I think that that was the whole direction that Roma wanted to go in, is to look past a certain point when Dybala had started to get doubts, started to have doubts about his future, about his position, and also this huge sum of money coming from Al-Qadsaya, Roma, I think, were already projected. And now we're in a difficult moment. This Galatasaray offer comes at a real interesting time because, as you say, the number of appearances that he's still yet to make in order to trigger that renewal are right there. Yes. And the January market is right there. So the two coincide, you know, and it will be tricky to see it unfold. But I can definitely tell that the atmosphere around this team in general will, I doubt that there will be a single player who leaves in January who will make an impression on the fans. Like, I think that the fans will not be crying over anyone this coming winter if anyone of any importance leaves.
I couldn't agree with you more. He will not get the sort of reception, so to speak, that we saw in the summer, where we saw the pleas, I mean, the absolute pleas of supporters for him to stay and to remain. Because obviously in the summer, like most people, all of us, we had such a, I won't say exorbitant outlook on the season, but I think certainly we thought battling for top four. I believe he has 3 goals in all competitions this season, Andy. And given what the guy makes, it is difficult for me to see where the benefit is for Roma to keep him beyond this season. Now, if you look at things from his perspective, first off, his agent, and he has a business partner, Carlos Novel, who was in Turkey in recent days. I mean, they should. It's criminal. It's malpractice what these guys have done to Paulo Dybala from a contractual point of view. If we want to go back in time, and I mentioned this on the Patreon episode I did, in December 2021, they had a concrete offer and agreement in place with Juve for Paulo Dybala to renew, I believe, either in 2025 or 2026 for 10 million euros net. It included bonus, but 10 million net per season. Well, we saw what happened to Juve. The stuff hits the proverbial fan. There's upheaval at the club. And then just a couple of months later, they come back to him and they say, yeah, you know that agreement we had? Nah. Here's our new offer. A third, and he just rolled over and took it. I still have messages from him back then. It was embarrassing. And then, do we remember the summer before the summer that Roma did sign Paulo Dybala? Andy, they didn't sign him until the very late portion of the window. He went the entire summer without a single club coming to him with a concrete
aside from something with Inter, but that was much earlier on, and then complete silence.
Yes. But nowhere near. Inter did not offer to him the wages or the contractual terms in terms of length of contract that Roma did. So for that guy to go to have an agreement with Juve, the 10 million, the offer goes down to like 3. He says no. So he leaves, he comes to Roma, and then he goes an entire summer without getting anything concrete except from Inter, but it is barely above the offer of Juve. It is malpractice what this guy has done with Paulo Dybala. And part of me wants to feel bad, but then the other side of me thinks, well, this guy clearly has made it known he is an incompetent. And he is an incompetent of the highest order. I mean, in this world of football, you have some of the dregs of society making their way into influential roles. Let me reiterate this part of it. You do not have to be bright or very talented to reach some of the upper echelons of the footballing world. I mean, some of these guys are certifiable morons. George Anton is a moron. I mean, Andy, he's leaking everything to everybody. I have 11 unread messages from him.
No, I understand.
I
just want to make sure I'm not getting sued. It's John.
No. I'm saying it. I don't believe he speaks English, so inconsequential what I say on here. it is malpractice what his agent has done to him. So part of me feels bad for him in that aspect. But again, it's also made clear that this guy has been woefully, woefully underwhelming as a professional for a number of years. And the fact that Paulo Dybala remained with him after that debacle of a situation with Juve, clearly there's something going on there. But his task is very clear, okay? Get a contract offer. Get a contract offer with wages similar to what he is making at Roma, and it needs to be a multi-years contract offer. That's it. That is his single objective for Paulo Dybala. So I think he will leave in January.
I do think that from Roma's perspective, they will also, I mean, right now Roma are not saying anything. Everybody's saying that everything is coming from Dybala's camp. The Roma hinting at anything. But I do think that Roma will push. Roma will push to get something done, because they just can't take the chance for Dybala to renew.
No.
They can't take the chance to spend so much money on a player that has on two occasions already been practically out of the team's plans. Let's face it, you know, in the summer, again, that perhaps that emotional decision was a mistake in the making. You know, maybe that yes. should have hinted at the season that was to come, that confusion behind everything that led up to the point where Dybala was like, I'm doing a U-turn, I'm staying. Something felt completely off in a certain respect, that it felt too big of a saga. It had dragged on for far too long. I think so many things went wrong. I definitely think that whole episode caused some sort of turmoil inside Roma's upper management. Definitely people in at Roma who wanted to get him out, and people who will try to get him out in January, definitely, because Roma do not want to be stuck with that contract for a player that clearly has run his course at the club. That's sort of the feel. It's a sad feeling, but it is a feeling that you get when you get so frequently linked with a transfer out of the club. It's like Edin Dzeko in his final years. I mean,
yes,
God
great
damn
comparison,
it.
Yes.
The final 2 years were pure hell. Horrible, because yes. It was time, every few months, it was somewhere else he was being, he's almost joining Juve, and then he's almost going to Turkey, and then he's almost going to Juve again. And Jesus Christ, you know, that's so... honestly, and I again, this season, if it has done anything to me, is sort of be very, very dry about this team. As in, you want to leave, fine. Not gonna keep you. I'm not gonna cry over you. Let's move on.
I couldn't agree more. From the camp of Dybala, I'm just going. First off, I am under an obligation to say Roma have told to us. They have not opened a negotiation regarding Paulo Dybala with any club. So putting that is directly from them, obviously. From the camp of Dybala, I think they were taken aback. I don't know why, but if you ask them, they were taken aback that Roma did not open a negotiation for a contract renewal once he decided to stay. I don't know what illusion they were under to think Roma would be open to that, because even when we had these very high hopes for the season, there was this discussion of, wow, Paulo Dybala makes a lot. He's in his final season. He's 31 years of age. What are we going to do? There is nothing new. Those discussions were had prior to his decision to stay. So why they're not just going to magically disappear because he decided to remain. So if you ask them, they will say they were quite surprised at the approach of Roma. Again, I don't know why they would be. But Andy, again, this was always going to happen. This situation was either going to come just before the summer in March, or maybe even a bit earlier than that, given this automatic renewal. I'm surprised we had to wait until the middle of December for this thing really to kick off about his future. But this is a very simple solution. He has not been worth it at all this season. Again, 3 goals. playing a lot, but there's just something. I think you are absolutely right. There, something broke between Dybala and the club after that whole debacle in the summer, and I'm sure we'll get more details on it. Maybe it is this thing about the Rondo. Maybe he was taken aback and somewhat insulted that Roma weren't willing to give to him a new contract. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Again, from the player's perspective, you have to feel a bit cut out, a bit demoralized that maybe exactly like the club didn't push enough in one way or another. You know, I think it's sort of like us fans. We've been given this spectacle of mediocrity, and perhaps Paulo Dybala also kind of feels in no man's land, just like us, and just like everything about this season, about this past year and a half, where everything was done so half-assedly, that now that the January market is here, maybe it's just the correct thing to do to part ways, move on, and see who can come out on the better end of this deal. Having said that, Parma, I already see that.
Preview. Let's end this on a high note. Yeah, come on. Give us the insight. Parma, one of your favorite places of the country, no?
Listen. Parma are pretty good this season, I must say. So yes. This is far from a given match. If we put the same kind of intensity that we put against Como, we're gonna get our asses kicked by Parma, because really they've been quite impressive. They have a number of interesting players that are coming up through the ranks. Some of them are already being linked with Roma and other clubs like Del Prato, you know, guys who are always getting linked and then they will never come, because a team like Parma, in order to let Del Prato, their captain, go in January, would probably ask for something like 20 million minimum, given the season that he's having. So let's forget about that. But this definitely is a match where you have to respond. Still, like tonight's game against Sampdoria, Capo Italia, it's a whole different story. This is not a response to Como. The game against Parma is a response to Como, because if you walk out there playing with that same lack of purpose that you played with against Como, call it quits, you know. Tell us in advance, so we can just move on to the new year and we can start to think about other stuff than this. Because tonight you don't respond to Como. Tonight you start your Coppa Italia campaign in a dignified manner. Parma, whole other beast. You gotta get it right. You just gotta get it right. That's all. It's as simple as that. It's really, this season has really been about the basics. Roma have got them most of the time wrong. It's time to start getting them right. That's it. I'm sorry if my speech is slurred, if I'm slow on the turn, but it's almost midnight. I'm here talking about Parma. I really don't know what we can say besides that Roma need to win. That's it. That's all they've needed to
win,
be
playing yes.
all season long.
Yes, and no Porgino of Cancellieri. You know, when it comes to him, where I am going to go. My wife is just within earshot, so I'm not going to even mention Mama Cancellieri. When you look at his goodbye, when he left Roma, his goodbye at Trigoria, there were some...
John, are you really going to do this to me?
I'm not going to do this, but hang on. Just very quickly, Cancellieri.
We're talking about Parma. We're previewing a match, and you're talking about someone's MILF. Come on, John.
Hey.
You were better than that.
You know, the Porgino is in the works when it is a youth player who I don't think he made a single appearance for the Roma senior team. And we only know him for one thing, yeah? Champions League, getting pushed over by somebody from Shakhtar, I forget who. But just the fact that his primary contribution was as a ball boy getting pushed over by an opponent. That is one of the spiciest ingredients needed for the Porgino. So expect it. Let's leave it there. Parma, we will be back after that match. So until next time, everyone. Ciao.